Hello, racing fans. Welcome to another episode of the Harness Players Podcast. We're discussing racing for the weekend of Masters Weekend. It is April 12th, 13th, 14th, and I guess even Monday the 15th when it comes to Yonkers racing. So we got some happenings to discuss here. I'm going to open up the show here. I'll be joined by Kevin Plouch in a moment to talk some Fraser Downs racing for this Friday, April the 12th. The Stable.ca segment is back this week, and Dr. Michael Atessa is going to join Mike Proposi. He's a veterinarian for the stable, so curious to hear his involvement with the stable and their horses. And finally, I'm going to keep Mike Proposi around, and I'll be back, and we'll discuss, of course, the MGM Borgata Pacing Series. It wraps up this Monday at Yonkers with the preliminary legs, Monday, April 15th. And, of course, there's the big money final coming up on Monday, April 22nd. So we look forward to discussing the rest of that series on the show, but should be a good show here. And with that, I welcome in Kevin Plouch on this Masters Thursday. Kevin, come on, you got to have some good golf thoughts for me.
Nah, I already told you that you were going to be the guy to cover the golf talk. Listen, I tried to watch some of the lesser tournaments this year, but school's been keeping me busy. I'm obviously watching the majors, as I'm sure you are too, but I'm going to let you handle all the golf talk this week.
You know, this has been the best week ever. I mean, I've gotten plenty of work done, I assure you. I promise you all my jobs are happy with me. I get my work done, but I just, in my free time this week, I've just had a lot of time. I mean, I'm honestly averaging probably like 8 hours a day of just Golf Channel in the background, of Masters on the Range. I mean, this is a great week so far. Unfortunately, I got a lot of work to do coming into this weekend and the rest of today. So the actual tournament itself is going to be watched a little bit on the fly, but we're definitely going to get a good amount of action in. And yeah, Max Homa is still the pick at 50-1. Anybody listening to this, we're recording this at 11:23 with the weather delay. I mean, the first player out played four holes. So, I mean, the fact still stands. Max Homa, I said that before he won. Nobody should doubt that there, Kevin. But, hey, we've got some Fraser action to discuss. Before we do, I'll give you your 60 seconds because you gave us a winner last week at Yonkers in the Borgata Pacing Series. So we're going to trust you to give us some sort of insight. Well, what are your thoughts? Not really this week, but how about a pick for the final? Put you on the spot. Give us a pick for the final.
For the Borgata?
Yeah, give us a pick.
It's hard to pick against Desperate Man. I know it's very boring, but just things didn't really shake out how I thought it would in his race last week. He just went down the road and won. Obviously, Duncan had some trouble. But you know, this could all change depending on the draw. But this week, Desperate Man not in, obviously, to just rest. He has enough points, and now he's pointed towards the final. I am on Desperate Man, but I could, this week, you know, you got three divisions. A little bit light on entries, but we see Line Drive Hanover back in. But my pick will be Desperate Man.
You know, I figure I'll ask Mike Proposi the same things when we get to the Yonkers segment. So I guess maybe I'll save my thoughts for then. But, you know, actually, my thoughts should be pretty clearly known, though, Kevin. I mean, I said on the broadcast when my co-host Peter Vanaglia has asked me, I gave him three picks. He wanted three picks, and I've given them all. South Carolina Women, UConn Men, Line Drive Hanover. We could get good odds on that. On that parlay there, Kevin. I mean, the UConn was like, I know chalk, but, you know, plus 250 by the time we talked about it pre-tournament. UConn was like even money-ish, maybe minus 120-ish. And I don't know, Line Drive Hanover probably be pre-start of the Borgata, probably like a 2-1 co-favorite maybe with Desperate Man. Now, right now, live, I would say Desperate Man's a little heavier. But, hey, this is a good little parlay I could give out.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you're going to get second-choice money on Line Drive Hanover in the final, I mean, you're going to be all over that. I think that would be a decent-paying parlay. We'll have to find out. Line Drive Hanover in his morning line odds are 4-5 in his division of the Borgata, so expecting good things from him as he was off last week.
Yeah, and again, obviously, discussion will save for the Yonkers segment with Mike, but, you know, open draw in that final, so we could have some interesting discussions about, oh, let's give Line Drive Hanover post 2, and let's give Desperate Man post 8. You know, we can play around with that a lot. But our business at hand is Fraser Downs on Friday night. And you know what, Kevin, you know, this seems off. Mike was top of the hill last week. He gave out that $300 pick 4. And his prize this week is being kicked off of the segment for you and I. I guess we got to top that now.
Yeah. Well, personally, I think it might be hard to get $300 out of this pick 4. But the goal is always to cash. So that's what we're going to try to do.
Well, that we will try to do. And hey, we got a 10-race program this Friday at Fraser. I don't know about you, Kevin, but you know me. I'm a good late night kind of a person, enjoying watching whatever. This is going to be great. I get back from Yonkers just in time, probably about midnight, to play this late pick four. It's going to be a race longer than usual, so I'll get to 1 a.m. instead of 12:40. Come on, you're a good college student. You want this late night action too.
Oh, yeah. I don't go to sleep until late. We'll see how the night treats me at Mohawk, as we do most nights, and then we head over to Fraser. It's a good late night product, good fields, good racing. Handle keeps improving. So definitely a good get-out spot, depending on how the rest of your day has gone, or a place to increase your winnings.
Yeah, you know, it's Masters Week, so everything I'm going to say is going to have a golf undertone to it. But, you know, they were talking about Tiger Woods being captain for the Ryder Cup next year, which is here in the States, of course. And then 2 years from now, we go overseas, where the U.S. hasn't won in nearly over 30 years now. So they were debating, well, if they're going to make Tiger, because Phil Mickelson was, of course, in line to be captain at 25 before, you know, going to live. So now it's Tiger's moving up its spot. So it's like, well, wait, if Tiger's going to be the captain in the U.S. and he wins, they got to send him to Europe and be captain in 27, because it's like he won. He's got the momentum. He could be the one to win in Europe for the first time in 30 years. But if he loses, but if he loses in the States by some chance, obviously the U.S. should win on home soil, but if he loses, we can send him to Europe as like a redemption tour. This is his chance to get back and get the ultimate win on road soil. It's kind of the same thing, Kevin, right? We got to play this no matter what. Either we're up through the day and we've got money that we want to build more money with, we got to go with, or we're down a little bit, unfortunately, and this is how we got to get out. So we got to do it no matter what, right?
Yeah, that's actually a good analogy. We're either going to keep pressing our luck, or if we're down on our luck, we got to take a different direction, try and get some redemption.
Beautiful mindset of us as gamblers. So, hey, let's give out some winning tickets for the sequence then. Race 7, again, it's 10 race cards, so race 7 starts this late pick 4, and just as a general reminder for those that may have missed a week or so of the show or something, no more pick 5 at Fraser for now. They're going to go with an early pick 4 and a late pick 4, so we're discussing the late pick 4. Mike gave out the early pick 4 last week, so he's killed the early pick 4. Kevin, we're going to take our chance with the late pick 4. $5,000 claimers on the pace to start us off. Field is 7 for this one, and you know what? You're too deep, I'm too deep, but we have 4 horses combined. We have nothing in common here, so make your cases.
Well, yeah, real quick, dollar minimum on the pick 4. We'll get into this in race 9, but we'll remind the people of the gate draw and how that goes. But for now, it's race 7, 5,000 claimer. Yeah, I'm too deep. Number 7 keeps getting better. His last two efforts at this level speak volumes. He took plenty of money last week off the step up to the 8 claimers, despite the outside post against Light My Shadow, who we'll talk about in a second. Dave Hudon took him to the back. No chance from there. I think he's going to send from the outside in the return, because that's what he's done the last two times at the 5 claiming level. And it's just, this seems like an easier spot for him. I'm going to throw in the 3 Tito Santana at a price. The 11-year-old veteran of the group. It's been tough sledding for him since his March 2nd, since the sickness scratch on March 2nd. I actually think he's had some reasonable excuses lately. You had a tough trip early on March 21st where he was out 3 wide before clearing. March 29th was last in a field of 5 where it keeps getting better. Got an easy middle half, just hard to close from there. And last week, blasted from the rail. He had post 9, but drew into the rail. Couldn't keep up with Light My Shadow, who was too good. That was a quick opening quarter and a quick third quarter. So, but I think he'll be a price, obviously. Draws a decent post, and I think he can rebound. He's got a lot of back class. So it's 3-7 for me in race number 7.
So I got a different take on this. So the 7 I worry about, considering the trip, we kind of saw it last week. You know, I had to take back there. Obviously, it seems like he's done a lot of work well on the front end. So I guess the logic would be, given that trip last week, you're going to figure maybe they're going to try to blast here. But, you know, I see a lot of speed to the inside there, including the 6 Jolton Joe, who I'm going to include. I'm hoping, after that effort last week, we saw he did on the front end. I know the time may not have been the quickest. You know, he gets not a whole lot of respect off that win with the 8-1 morning line. But I'd like to see that dimension of him again. Let's blast from post 6. Hopefully Force keeps getting better to go back. I think you're going to get some other levers, though, towards the middle of this gate, Kevin. So, therefore, if they're going to mix it up early, that's where I'm going to include the 1 Curves Are Easy on the Eyes. I like the rail draw. If nobody wants to leave, he's got options. Alternatively, slots away 3rd or 4th, maybe get some second over cover in the outer flow. I think there's an option there, too. So, that's the 2 that I saw. You know, makes sense, though. You know, we clearly have different thoughts on how this race may end up developing. And, obviously, that's part of gambling. So hopefully one of us are at least alive after the first leg. If we're both not alive, Kevin, that's going to make this really boring and quick. But hopefully one of us is alive.
Yeah, I sure hope so. You know, Chase Bank, if you dare, is one that could close if they have a hot pace early. But hopefully we're covering four of the seven horses here. Hopefully one of us is alive to this next race.
Or if we are alive to that next race, well, I guess one of us, we can't both be, unless we get a dead heat or something. We'll be singled to the same horse here, though. Light My Shadow, the two horse, Kevin. Obviously, he's been very sharp. Did burn a little bit of money 2 and 3 back, but took care of his business pretty well last time.
Yeah, that first over trip can be tough, even for favorites, as you saw, two back. But he overcame it last week with a near 27-second third quarter. It was just a dominant performance last week. Drew away to win by 4.5 as the favorite. He's been favored in 5 straight. He will be again. I'm going to single him. I was just kind of looking down the page. The only other horse that I think really has a chance is the lovely named Chuck U. Farley. Had to be careful with that one. But I'm not sure what kind of trip he'll get. His miles have been consistent. And listen, if you want to try to beat the two, you're going to get a price on anybody else. But I will be singling the two, Light My Shadow, at likely a shorter price than he has been in his last 5.
Yes, the number 4 horse. You ever see, Kevin, there's I know you're a good NBA watcher. There was that lovely night when the Raptors were playing like 3 months ago when Grady Dick was just scoring every point in the world and the announcers were having way too much fun with that. And at some point, the one announcer just determined to keep calling him Richard the entire night. So at this point, I'm just going with number 4 horse because I'm tired. I don't want to make my error here. So number 4 horse that you mentioned, that horse, that name, number 4. I've been chasing him for a while, and he's not won for me. So that's probably all the more reason I want to be careful in saying the name. So that's the angle here. I'm finally off of him. But he runs into Light My Shadow as well this week, who, again, I think just towers over the field. I think takes care of business. Short price probably, but we're not going to spend more money than we have to. You and I both single. We turn our attention to race 9, where we have $20,000 claimers here. And this is where we do find the field of 8, and we will in race 10 as well. So, Kevin, post 8, what does that mean at Fraser Downs?
Yeah, post 8, the trailer at Fraser Downs. It says up at the top of the program, 7 on gate, post 8 trails. And that 8 horse I will actually be including in my ticket in this $20,000 claiming race number 9. I'm 3 deep here. Number 1, Vertical Squirt. Can improve off the post, which I think he was facing preferred types earlier. If you look down the program, he closed well last week at this level, 28-2. I think he could actually look for a potential blast off the gate to land up close. We'll see. The 2, Joe DiMaggio, has improved a ton since coming back from Mohawk. He's shown the ability to race from the front or the back. I think this week it's going to be a battle between the 1 and the 2 for early position. I think the 2 will likely get it. And I'm going to also include this 8, Brace for Impact. A big driver change here to Rod Terrace. Was scratched last week, but took them all the way 2 back as the favorite. Trailing post, I think, could follow that early speed of the 1 or the 2. And then be in a great stalking spot to convert. You look down his program. He was up against the preferreds. He's taken some decent money against not winners of 8 and not winners of 9. Types is facing those not winners of 9 types again. So he definitely fits in here. And with that trailing post, I can follow the early speed and be in a better spot than most trailing horses are. So it's 1-2-8 for me in race 9.
So we're trying to go for a little bit of a bigger score potentially on this pick 4, Kevin. I think it means we got to take a stand against the favorite somewhere. So I'm going to take a stand against Joe DiMaggio. You know, it just feels like sometimes when you're in the spot where you've got a horse that obviously beat quite a few of these same ones from last week, it just seems like when they got the front end and rolled down the road, nobody's going to give it to him that easily again, right? I mean, you just saw it. You got to try something different. So, yeah, a horse like the 1 Vertical Squirt, who I include, I wouldn't mind seeing some aggressiveness there from the rail. I think there's others possibly too, though. I mean, there's others I hope potentially could be part of this early action. Like the 6, Joe Rich, for example, who was 2nd last week behind Joe DiMaggio, a kicked in 29 there and made up some ground in the outer flow. Maybe this week, hopefully, he's been before he sat the pocket. He's been on the lead before, even in that preferred back on the February 16th. So I would like to see him blast out of here and try to, you know, be much closer this week. So that's potentially a different direction to go. And the 4, Rum and Raisins, obviously the pocket trip didn't work out last week. I finished 4th, beat only 3/4 of a length, though, behind Joe DiMaggio. Another one looking possibly for rebounding. You know, depending how the trip works out, and maybe if others want to take off early and he can come from off the pace this week. He kicked him 27-4, two back. So I'm just kind of looking for angles here, Kevin, to try to beat Joe DiMaggio, who I think is going to be shorter than that 3-1 morning line indicates in this race. So that's my stand here to try to get some sort of bigger number out of this pick four. We're going to go 1-4-6 for me. Did I say that correctly? I don't even know numbers anymore. Yes, 1-4-6 as we go to the 10th and final where, well, once again, we each use two horses. We do have one in common this time, though. We're both in favor of One Tough Beach Boy, but you're also using the 3 Which Beach. Apparently, you just want it to be summer and to go to the beach.
Hey, that doesn't sound too bad. Real quick about race 9, just back to it real quick. Something I've noticed is that, you know, you get those really fast opening quarters, and then, you know, summertime at Fraser Downs, we'll see like a 27-1, 55-4. But we've seen 27-1s and then 57-1s or 57-4s, just making it a lot easier for these front end horses to try and last on the lead. So, just watching throughout the night, just keeping track of, what those second quarters are like, seeing how the track's playing, all very important. In terms of race number 10, 12,000 claimers. Yeah. The 3 Wits Beach ships in from Cal Expo. Now those lines, don't look too appealing. He was last seen here back in December, I believe. Yes, December. Was facing preferred and non-winners of 8 types. This is the AE is non-winners of 7 here. I think those lines could actually drive some people away from Wits Beach. Draws a nice post here. You got Brad Watt. I think he's got a big chance just because of his back class and who he faced before. And the 6 One Tough Beach Boy. Yeah, here's a horse who hit the board in 14 of 16 in 2023. Tyson Jacoby sent him a couple times lately. He's outraced his odds in his last 3. Got a tough trip 4 back, as you can see. He's another versatile type that, well, Edison, you included him. I just don't think you can leave him off your ticket just because of the versatility. And he kicked 27-4 last week. So seems to always have a chance no matter where he's at. So 3-6 for me in race 10.
Yep, I agree with the 6 here, One Tough Beach Boy. And, you know, I tossed in the 2 Sunset Rider. You know, there's also the 7 Bay Street Buddy, Wits Beach. You know, you can really have a nice little summer theme to selections here in this race if you really wanted to. But the Sunset Rider, the one I'll go to there on that front end trip down the road, obviously we see the plenty of early gate speed he has. He won 2 in a row, including the jump up to these claimers last time out. Another one who, again, might not get it quite as easy this time. Some others want to try to contest it early, but to be honest, there's just not a whole lot of speed in this race. Probably the next quickest off the gates, the 7 Bay Street Buddy, and post 7, obviously going to be a bit of a challenge there. So, see, this is one where I realize I'm contradicting myself that, you know, you figure in the last race I'm saying that one might not get it as easy. This one, I think, probably does potentially just because there's not a whole lot of other early gate speed. So, he'll be looking for a 3rd win in the row. He seems to have been putting it together. He went winless in those first 3 starts this year, and now he's rolling, looking for 3 in a row on the win side of things here for Sunset Rider. So, 2-6 for me. So we both are going to spend $12, but we're going to do it in different ways here, Kevin. 1-6 with 2, with 1-4-6 with 2-6 for me, and you're going to go 3-7 with 2, with 1-2-8 with 3-6. So we shall see which one of us will don the green jacket at sunset on Friday night in Western Canada.
Yep, that's right. Both spending $12. Guess we're rooting for a dead heat in the first race to keep us both alive, but hopefully one of us cashes for the people who are listening. You can fade one, fade both, play them both, whatever you would like to do. It is your world for this late pick 4 at Fraser Downs races 7 through 10 on Friday night, April 12th in the year of our Lord 2024.
Well, we got 30 seconds left, Kevin, so whatever you want. I don't know, Twitter feeds, some sort of random promo for Meadows Racing, whatever you want to say about the NBA, NHL playoffs, the Masters, have at it.
Yeah, we got rid of Ray's corner last week, so now it's Kevin's corner. Twitter at Plouch's Picks. Go to NahuPicks.com for free selections from racetracks across North America. I've got Meadows every day. They're doing 4 days a week racing now. 12:45 p.m. new video board. I do picks for Mohawk Thursday, so if you're listening to this Thursday, that would be tonight. NBA and NHL playoffs both end way too late whenever it's actually warm out. Taking a quick look at the standings, that Giannis injury is going to be very big, and go Penguins.
All right. Well, there you have it. Mike Ribosi, you're next with the stable.
Nahu Mikey P, Mike Probosi, and we have a stable segment this week. We didn't have one last week, but we do have one this week. And we'd like to welcome Dr. Michael Latessa, and he's one of the veterinarians that work very closely with the stable.ca in the Ohio region. And we know one of their home bases, they have Ontario, but they also have a big home base in Ohio. They've been doing that for the past couple years. Michael, welcome.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing great, and very, very happy to be speaking to you here, because we've been doing these stable segments almost every week now, and we have a lot of different perspectives to try to promote the stable. We have, you know, owners, we have some of the trainers that we've had. We had Anthony himself, and he is, never at a loss for words, but we wanted to get another perspective, and you're on the veterinarian side of this, and tell us a little bit about your relationship with Anthony. How did you get involved with the stable?
Yeah, so obviously Anthony is one of the hardest working guys in this business. And how I got started with, I worked at Northfield Park as a vet. And then one day I get a call from actually Jason McGinnis, one of the trainers he has. He said, hey, we're coming to Northfield. We need a vet and we need you to do the work. I said, okay. And they come rolling in and so they have a pretty big operation and we hit it off the bat from the start, just a really good working relationship with Anthony and Jason from the start. It's been a lot of fun ever since.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing, the operation that they do have and a lot of horses in, out. I know Ohio is one of their own home bases. A lot of their two-year-olds, I think, that they keep there, and they have a lot of Ohio breds and things. Are you involved? How many horses would you say you're involved with them as far as having to take care of on a regular basis?
Yeah, so it varies between, when they first came in, it might be only 20-some, and we've been up to 80-some horses here in Cleveland that they'll have stables here on the grounds. And obviously with this operation being in Canada and all over the U.S., horses will come in and out, and Anthony will have some horses just come to Cleveland for us to take a look at, and it'll make sure they're top of their game before they head out. If it's Kentucky, Indiana, New Jersey, Canada, Pennsylvania, so we get quite a big flux of horses for the stable that come through Northfield, so we stay pretty busy with that operation.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I was sat in on one of their webinars this past Monday, and they said they have over 100 horses and a lot of different, and you said a lot of different places that they're racing basically all over the country and on Canada. Do you prefer working with the older horses, the younger horses? I'm sure that you probably get something from each level and there's lots of different things with each, depending on where they're at.
Right. That's a good question. As a vet, my family, they were actually involved with standard bred racing. That's how I got involved with it. And we always would have, we'd buy yearlings and develop the babies and, have them become racehorses. So I always had an affinity for the young horses because you're there from the start, teaching the horse how to jog, how to train every step of the way to develop into a racehorse. So I always enjoyed the young horses because you get to watch them develop as they grow up. And, even as a vet, I enjoy working with the younger horses still.
So, you mentioned getting involved in racing. Is this something that basically is in your blood, or what drove you to this life, this career, to being around the racetrack?
So my grandfather, Gerald Latessa, and my father, Jerry Latessa, they had a stable in the 70s. And at that time, New York Sire Stakes was pretty much the premier racing venue in the country. And they had a horse, it was actually a world champion horse named Sly Attorney. So maybe some of the older listeners might remember that one from the mid-70s. He was a three-year-old pacer of the year, I believe, and he's been a world champion. So they had success with racing. And by the time I was born in 1981, they started to get out of the business. They retired. They stepped away from the business for a while. And it wasn't until I was about 12 years old they decided to buy Yearling and get back in the business, and that's when I became involved. And immediately I fell in love with the horses and the sport itself. And, you know, at that point I decided I want to do something in my career to be a part of Standardbred Racing. And, you know, I really enjoyed science and math and, you know, thought about becoming a doctor at some point when I was younger, but I thought, you know, becoming a veterinarian to work with the racehorses would be my absolute dream job. And it has been. I've been fortunate, you know, to get into vet school and end up in a couple of really nice spots and end up where I am.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think people realize how hard it is to take that track in life and to get into vet school and to be able to get through and the things and the trials it takes to get to where that is. And then to get to where you are now, to be involved with an operation such as the stable. I mean, that's not an easy road. And I mean, obviously now it's paying off, but something like that, I mean, it's certainly, it's not definitely not an easy thing to get into.
No. And I'm 43 now. I've been a vet for 15, 16 years. And I have students that come through and they want to get into vet school and go that path. And I always tell them, don't give up. You know, you could always do this. And I think one of the keys to be successful in any business is to be available, to always be willing to work and willing to do that job. And there is no, you know, my job doesn't end at, you know, 4 p.m. or 5 p.m. It ends when the work's done. I think that's why Anthony and his whole operation is having a success, because that man doesn't stop working. You know, and the same with the people he is in Cleveland here working for him. Like I said, Jason McGinnis is a trainer here, and he's always there. He had Jason Merriman helping, Lauren Harmon, and a lot of good people. His wife, Amy, does a great job. They don't stop working. And I think no matter what you do, as long as you keep moving forward to work, you're going to have success.
Well, you mentioned Anthony. Talk about your relationship with him and how you said how you got involved with him. But, you know, I'm sure you'd have to be with all those horses and the way that he updates everyone constantly. You almost would have to be in constant communication with him.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I ignore the phone when he calls. No, I don't know how he does it. He's able to make his videos, communicate with his trainers, communicate with the drivers he might have driving, communicate with the owners. I mean, there's hundreds, thousands of owners he might have to communicate with the vets. If it's me here in Cleveland or, you know, the other operations in Pennsylvania, Canada, and Kentucky, he's always has to communicate. And the man loves his job. I mean, we have fun. I think we have beyond a professional relationship. You know, we'll go get dinner, you know, him and his wife, and, you know, they become, you know, part of my circle of friends and, you know, close people. And, you know, he's fun to work with. You know, what he's able to do with the horses, he's very good at it. What he's doing for the sport, I think, is a huge thing. It's getting more people involved. And, you know, I think every year it's showing, it gets bigger and bigger. And he said that the man doesn't stop until he doesn't stop. He just keeps going and going. And he flew in from Kentucky last night. He's there early in the barn this morning in Cleveland training babies, and he's always ready to go.
And talk about his attitude towards the horses. And, you know, I mean, like, horse racing gets some bad press, bad raps, for people that maybe don't do things the right way. But obviously, you know, your boots on the ground with Anthony, and, you know, not all horses are healthy all the time. And that's where you come in. But I mean, talk about how the stable wants to do right by all the horses, and they're not the type that, you know, are looking to, you know, do things that are that are out of line.
Yeah, so it's funny. The first year he was here, they came in the spring and they raced in the summer. Now it's into the fall, and a couple of yearlings came in that he bought from somewhere. It wasn't even sales season yet. And I'm in the barn doing work for something. I don't remember what I was doing, but I'm there with my technician. And Anthony's in the barn. Everybody else is gone. and there's a baby, a yearling he had there. And he goes, he walks up to this dog. He goes, "Hey, buddy, how you doing?" Real calm, quiet, always positive attitude with Anthony. And he asks me, have they broke this horse yet? I go, "I don't think so. I don't know." "Oh, we'll do that. We'll do that right now." And I watch the man, and it's, you know, not the typical way that I've seen people break horses, but he goes and grabs a harness, throws it on the horse. Horse is loose in the stall, which is fine. And he goes to find more equipment in a jog cart. And the horse is biting the lines on the harness. I said, "Anthony, that horse is biting its lines." He walks over. He goes, "Hey, buddy, don't bite those lines. Those are my lines. Don't bite those." Just very funny and comical in a way of just patient. And then he takes the horse out of the stall. And you see he's going to put him in the jog cart. You know, I grew up where most people line drive them, you know, with standing behind the horse. They don't hook them up the first day or two. And there's usually two or three people to help break a horse. I go, "Andy, do you need a hand?" "No, he'll be okay." And I've seen this horse in the stall. He was a bit of a lunatic. Anthony puts the harness on the halter, hooked up the jog cart, and out the barn he goes. And I go, "You gonna be okay?" He goes, "Yeah, I borrowed somebody else's jog cart. If he throws it, he'll break that jog cart, not mine." And he's laughing, just smiling, and out the door he goes. The horse was perfectly fine. And he comes back in. He goes, "See?" He goes, "That's good." And he just had this whole smile about him. His whole demeanor was just happy as can be, not a worry in his eye about any of it. And he's so patient and just so easygoing with how he operates. It's where the horses, they just sense it. And they're like, "Okay, we better not do anything stupid, because maybe this guy's crazy because he's not scared of us at all. And like, he just has that very soft demeanor, that very aloof way of dealing with crazy horses at times. And he's always patient. And it's remarkable to watch him work with those young horses like that. You know, I've seen horses, babies come in the barn. They're striking, rearing up, and you know, some people might get angry and start yelling, or he's just, "Okay, buddy, calm down," and just quietly like soothes the horse, and then everything's fine. You know, I think it's impressive to watch him operate like that, where you said, you know, other people might get very upset and start throwing things and they're mad at the horse, but I think he understands they're babies or young horses. They're not sure of things. So he just takes his time to just slowly teach them what he wants them to do, and they respond to him.
Yeah, that's a great story, and a great story about him and his horsemanship. And he would have to almost be have that level of horsemanship to be able to run this operation and to be able to expand this operation. And it's obvious the people that he surrounds himself with are at a very high level. And I think that his standards, I would expect, are very high. You know, because he's running a big operation, so he can't afford to have people he doesn't trust in key positions.
Right. No, I mean, with his operation, what he needs to do, I mean, it's huge. And, you know, you need good people around you. And, you know, I think he's been able to do that with, you know, the trainers that he uses. He's got Jason here at Northfield and Tim Twaddle in Pennsylvania, and the guys up in Canada, my God, those are great. And, you know, everyone involved, they work hard. And he selected those people for a reason. And, you know, the success is showing. Horses they have.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's nice for you to give us some of the inside, you know, stories here with the stable. You know, if you could give, you know, if you were as someone asked you, what do you, you know, you're involved with the stable, should I get involved? What would you tell them?
Oh, I tell them, you know, they could buy one share of a horse. You know, financially, like, it's something I think most people that enjoy the sport are able to afford. You know, it just start with 1%, like the long owners do, and see what happens. And actually, my parents, they bought a couple shares because, you know, they met Anthony, and, you know, they enjoy, you know, how he operates. And my mom, it's funny, I'll call her at times, and she's like, oh, hold on, Anthony's having dinner with us, because they'll watch the videos that they're having dinner, you know, she'll have to turn it off to, you know, because I call. And I think a lot of clients, they enjoy that interaction. Daily, they're getting feedback. You know, I think it's a tough sport where, you know, you own a horse and you might not hear from your trainer for a week, or how's it doing? Oh, he's doing good. You know, Anthony's just giving so much information and so much entertainment with the operation and involvement with the owners, and, you know, everyone's informed. And I think a lot of people that get involved with the stable, they're addicted to it because they like that information. They like to that behind the scenes that, you know, really never seen before in the sport. You know, he's honest and he's showing the videos of those babies training down. And, you know, you're able to see it as a client, as an owner in that operation. And, you know, you're almost more involved, even if you own 1% of a horse, than sometimes if you own half of a horse, you know, in other situations. You get to see your horse, you know, frequently with the training videos and the discussions and the videos that he makes with them.
Yeah, I do think it's very amazing. The amount, like you said, the amount of energy he has, the transparency, and not every horse is going to do well, right? I mean, you know, they have over 100 horses. Some are doing great. Some are racing at the open level. He has a lot of really nice horses that are capable of big efforts. There's other horses that maybe, you know, don't do so well. Maybe that's, you know, not going to be their career. Maybe they're just not all that fast. Maybe they get hurt. You know, things do happen to horses. It's, you know, it's a tough game. They're four-legged animals. But that transparency, that, you know, the willingness to, when things aren't going right, to, you know, if you have to move on, you move on. And the willingness to go in those bigger spots when the horse is doing well. There's so many positives and very little downside as far as being involved with these people, because they're going to do the right thing almost 100% of the time.
Right. And it's exactly right with that. And he's as honest and open. He'll tell you if a horse stinks, you know, this horse doesn't fit our program. It's not, you know, maybe not for us, you know, might not to sell him, or, you know, this horse, he needs turned out, he's not himself, and we'll get him right. Or, you know, he doesn't hold back. And I think for some owners, we all like to watch the big stake races and the Grand Circuit races and, you know, have that caliber of a horse. And it's hard to get to that level, you know, no matter how much money you have sometimes. And, you know, he's, you know, stepping on that stage, especially last year and the year before, where he has horses entering some of these big races across the country and in Canada. You know, he's in the Breeders' Crown Elimination. He won Tactical Mounds, won in Hambo Day last year. You know, he has these horses on that big stage where everybody's watching. And it's an avenue for someone that, hey, I can put up, you know, 1% or 5%. I can get involved with that type of horse. You know, it means a lot for a lot of people, because before, there's no way, you know, the average fan, you know, they don't have $300,000 to go buy a yearling or a two-year-old to go to that stage, you know, but they might have, you know, a few hundred bucks, a couple grand, and that can get them to that stage, and they're involved with the horse racing at that level.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's the accessibility. It's the transparency. It's the stable has shown the ability to perform at the highest levels. This isn't, you know, you're not dealing with five claimers here. Sometimes you're dealing with the absolute top of the sport. So you just never know yet. You can get involved, and the everyman can get involved. And I think that's something that Anthony really, really strives for, is just to get that everyman involved, because that's the future of the sport.
Right. 100%.
Well, there's a couple webinars coming up for the stable.ca. Like I said, I attended one on Monday, and there's a ton of good information. Kelly Spencer did that webinar on Monday, but typically Anthony shows up for these webinars also. The next few coming up are Saturday, April the 27th from 3 to 4, and then Monday, May the 6th, that's after the Derby, so you should have plenty of time. I know that's thoroughbreds, but most people that care about horse racing care about the Derby. So that's the Monday after the Derby from 7 to 8 p.m. Just go to stable.ca and check that out. You can sign up for those webinars and get involved. Dr. Letessa, thank you so much for doing this podcast with us. We appreciate your time, and hopefully we can talk again soon.
My pleasure, Mike. Thank you.
And next we're going to go to, I'll be on with Edison to do some Yonkers coverage.
And we'll finish off this week's show here with some Yonkers Raceway discussion. We are getting down to the nitty-gritty as an adder here as we discuss the fifth and final preliminary leg of the Borgata Pacing Series. This will be Monday, April the 15th, 2024. And Mike Rabozzi joins me. Mike, exciting time of the year. The Grand Circuit schedule is really getting underway. We're about to see two big dollar finals coming up very shortly here with both the Blue Chip Matchmaker and the Borgata Pacing Series. And they've both been good series so far.
Yeah, it's exciting. I think a lot of the top players have asserted themselves and look the part going forward here. You won't see Desperate Man this week, but he's got four big wins in the bag, so probably don't need to see him. Some of the other ones I think might be taking turns beating each other just a little bit, but you know, he's the leader in the clubhouse. As far as the Matchmaker goes, that's been a very competitive series. I think both should set up for some huge finals.
Yeah, so Mike, I think we got two things to tackle today in our segment time here in terms of not only handicapping next week's legs on Monday night, but also discussing kind of some thoughts towards the final. So let's jump into the races first for next week. Then we'll use the rest of our time to discuss some of the thoughts on the final and, right, horses that we might not see this week, such as Desperate Man, you know, where they're going to fit into this final, that kind of stuff. But we get started in race two on Monday night. It's a 5-horse field, so we see what Stanley got. He took the week off after a win in leg two in a couple of seconds. Venturesome Arden is definitely one desperately in need of points. In fact, maybe a win's maybe even a little bit short of time there. Rock and Roll Runa is looking to rebound from a fifth place ever, but he's got some points. He, again, can always use more. This is the plan, probably the biggest name on the outside looking in, I'd say, going into the final leg here. And again, I'm doing kind of the math in my head. I don't know if the points are there necessarily, depending how things go in some of the other horses and divisions this week. And please let me know, comes off of a win last time out, a couple of thirds, another one, I think, currently on the outside looking in, but the points might be there to get him there. So, I mean, Mike, it's kind of getting to desperate times for some of these horses.
Yeah, and some of them have sort of raced themselves into the series. I mean, Please Let Me Know, it was huge last week, second time there. Well, first time Lasik's in a race. It was he had one in the qualifier there on March the 30th, and he needs points. He's on the outside looking in right now. He's right now around 10th in points, so he needs a couple to get in here. He'll get points for starting, but I would say he needs to be 1-2 and probably 1 to get in. I think What Stanley Got should be in here. Rock and Roll Runa, another one that should be in. This is a plan. He snuck into the final before, if you recall, and ended up winning the final. So he's one I think that has an outside shot of making it. Definitely has to win the race here, though. This is a competitive spot. I do think Please Let Me Know was big last week and probably controls this race. He looks like he's probably going down the road again and should be tough, but does he bounce coming off that race? And I know some people don't believe in a bounce in harness racing, but it is a factor here. And, you know, we'll see. That was a 52-mile last week. That was a huge mile for this horse. Let's see how he responds.
Yeah, you know, for Please Let Me Know, Mike, I'm sure you probably heard the story when I said it last week on the broadcast, but Matt Kaley let us know, you know, talking to him, that it's that Lasik's rule in New York. So that's why we saw him go over the Meadowlands, that weird qualifying line. It seemed off to me. Kick 25-4 behind Admiral Hill, who of course came back to win at the Meadowlands last Saturday. So in taking that qualifier in New Jersey, he could go on Lasik's here in New York now in that Borgata leg. So that explains that week off in the qualifying choice. And yeah, I mean, clearly it did something for him, right? I mean, that was a big effort last week. And again, I think of those in this field who, you know, might be looking for points, he's definitely one of them. So outside post, expect him to roll out there. That's the direction I would go here in the short field. But I will say What Stanley Got is, along with Rock and Roll Runa, just two horses that coming into the series I didn't necessarily think were you know, going to be names we'd be talking about, but they've certainly proved me wrong.
Yeah, both have raced extremely well. I think both have been given really good drives in this series. The races have kind of fell towards their styles, and the trips worked out for them. Rock and Roll Runa especially has been very well driven. You could see he's sort of fallen back to earth in the last two starts. I'm curious to see what sort of trip he gets in here, knowing that he's going to be in the final. Maybe like an easier trip here. He tried the front last week, just no bueno there when favored. I would expect an off the pace kind of trip. This is a plan though. He's proven to be aggressive before, and he could be the fly in the ointment.
You know, Mike, there's an important point you make there, and obviously, again, we'll save this for the second half of the segment when we discuss more things about the final, but this is the plan sneaking into the final. You know, once you've snuck into the final, nothing really matters. The points disappear in the sense that open draw, so, I mean, if you just sneak in, you could draw the rail and be golden in the final versus Desperate Man, who's, you know, perfect in the series. He could draw post eight anyway when the final comes around, so that's another interesting part of the series, but we'll move for now to race nine. That's the second division Monday night. Backstreet Shadow finally got his win in the series last week. I guess I could be sound like a broken record and say it for every horse, but probably wants more points getting ready for the final. Covered Bridge, he still doesn't have a win, so he's definitely looking for some points. Hemsworth, again, 1 second so far, the fourth and the fifth. He might be on the outside looking in regardless. Duncan, obviously last week, the break before the start, didn't really get to see what he might have been able to give the Desperate Man in that race, although I suspect potentially not much, but he does have a couple of wins in the series, so he should be pretty solid. Coach's Corner, well, he's got 4 seconds in a row. Might be enough points there. Again, more points can never hurt anybody. Semi-Tough, yeah, there's one that I can say pretty safely. And again, another very talented horse, a millionaire, but with 2 fourths and a fifth, definitely on the outside looking in the final.
Yeah, so I would say Duncan's in, and Covered Bridge looks like to be in, looks like to have enough points. Coach's Corner, very similar, should get in, barring some sort of catastrophe here. Backstreet Shadow, though, however, he's on the outside looking in. He's tied with Please Let Me Know in points right now, and he needs points. He needs to get another win in this series to make sure that he has a spot in the final. I thought he looked great last week. That was a nice mile there. I was able to grind it up first up and just keep on going. Others were coming, but he had enough, and now he gets an inside post. He was a little bit closer last week. I thought that made a big difference in his ability to set up a trip there and to kind of dictate his own circumstances. I think they're aggressive here. I would expect him up close early. What happens with Duncan here? He was great those couple wins. That bust before the start was pretty uncharacteristic of him, and then they just locked up on him, really had no chance whatsoever. He was 5-1 versus Desperate Man. What sort of tactics does this horse use? I mean, he should be safely in the final here. He doesn't really need points. I'd imagine that they're going to try to just stay online and stay on stride and try to get what they can get. This is a nice race here. Covered Bridge, I thought, has raced well, even despite for shares in the series. I've been trying to get Hemsworth to win. He can't seem to figure it out. I don't know. But he's capable. And Coach's Corner, he keeps finding, ways to finish second. He has 6 seconds and 9 starts this year. This is a good race. This is a good race to bet.
So, Mike, last week when Ray and I were chatting, we both kind of were discussing Duncan as a possibility to Desperate Man kind of last week, thinking about the potential, post-5 draw for Desperate Man. Would they play a little bit of tactics to kind of go from off the pace, potentially, theoretically, what happens if they draw post-8 in that final? How does that trip work out for him then, So long story short, do you think Duncan was 5-1 last week in Desperate Man because he's going to be 5-1 into him in the final? Or was that more of kind of thinking of the tactics of last week's race?
Yeah, last week. I mean, he was on the rail there. He came off 2 straight wins. And, Desperate Man had already had a couple wins in the chamber, and we thought, oh, he will take back. Well, the race completely changed when Duncan blew up at the start, another horse blew up at the start, and Desperate Land was like, well, you guys don't want it, I'm going to take it, and he just dominated the race. This is a little different. I could see, I don't know what they're going to do, honestly. I wish I did know. He races best, though, up close, and that's where his best races are, and if he stays flat, he's going to put himself into the race. So we'll see what happens with the post. Does he try to set up a trip? He's the key to the race, obviously.
All right, well, race number 9, again, the second division on Monday night. And the third and final division is in race 10. Strength from Above, definitely on the outside looking in. Line Drive Hanover we see back after 2 wins in a second. He should be pretty squarely in the final and obviously likely to be the main danger to Desperate Man if there is one. Hellabaloo, last year's champion, well, a couple of fourths, a second, and a third, so definitely need some points, as always. Leonidas, second last week, I thought a pretty short number again, and everyone knows how much I love Leonidas after the Potomac Pace victory in 2020, so nothing against the horse, but wasn't sure about the price last week. Did finish second, mind, please let me know, but still needs points here, I think, for this final. Ideal Some Magic, again, broken record, same deal, needs the points. And Fun at the Beach definitely does. Another former champion who desperately needs some points, and that's one, Mike, you and I both went to last week. The public went that direction as well, and that was a brutal trip.
Yeah, he wasn't going to get anything there. He parked in 54-1. He likes to grind, but he doesn't want to grind at that pace the whole way around the racetrack. I don't know. I liked him in his last two starts, and he just isn't quite getting it done. And he'd be an interesting price look in this race again, just because he can't get any worse of a trip that he got last time. But he has to deal with Line Drive Hanover off the bench. Took a week off. I didn't think Line Drive Hanover would win on the 1st of April, and he made a fool out of me. He was 1-9 and crushed in a 50-4 mile. So he's hard to look against, but like you said, others need points in here. Hellabaloo's on the outside looking in. Fun at the Beach on the outside looking in. A lot of these horses need points to be able to get into the final. And again, I feel about how Line Drive Hanover is the fact that he's a little hit and miss at times. He can go off form without any reason or, you know. So that's a possibility for this horse. Again, the big money's next, you know, the next leg. This isn't it. So he's the best horse. He's going to be 1-9 again, but there are horses capable of beating him. I think Hellabaloo has he was really live last week in the stretch. I thought was really good. Ideal Some Magic bounced back last time. So that's another one capable of getting a piece. And you know, like I said, Fun at the Beach, really no chance in his last. Likes this racetrack. He's upset these horses before.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, I've stood by Line Drive Hanover for a lot through this series. So I think, like you said, best horse in the race probably wins here. But give me an exceedingly short price. Hellabaloo, I've been chasing for a while. I mean, it just feels like he's got to get there eventually. And I guess he better this week if he plans to be around for the final. Fun at the Beach, I guess I'm kind of saying the same thing. Obviously, the trips just haven't worked out. So I don't know. I'm not quite sure directions will go there. I think maybe Fun at the Beach again is potentially the real value, just because outside post probably going to be a high number again. I'm just not sure what kind of trip he's looking for anymore, because it didn't work off the pace. It didn't work being parked out to a 54-1 mile. I'm not sure what we're looking for Fun at the Beach. But either way, that's our divisions for this coming Monday. So obviously, Mike, going into these legs this week especially, we're thinking about the final on April 22nd. And we can sit here and speculate a little bit. But again, as I mentioned earlier, Mike, a big part of this for this race, the open draw, so there's no guarantees to anybody. Desperate Man, Line Drive Hanover, yeah, they've been the two best horses this whole series. They can get post 7 and post 8. If they do, then what happens? We saw it a couple years ago with Leonidas when he was probably the best horse through the races. He ended up being the favorite anyway in the final. Post 7 really did him in.
Yeah, post matters a lot at this place, and a lot of these horses are very close. I know Desperate Man has dominated the series, and you know, horses like Duncan have taken their turns winning a few legs, but ultimately that draw and that final makes a huge difference. Now, This Is a Plan was able to overcome an outside draw a few years ago in this race, but that's really not ideal, and that's not really what anybody wants to try to do. And you saw what happened last week to a horse that had an outside post in Fun at the Beach. I mean, parked at pretty much every step. And you know, that's a possibility for the final, especially. I'm very curious to see what happens with Line Drive Hanover and Desperate Man. And, you know, they're not going to be lining up. They're going to be going for that big pot. The posts matter. The tactics matter. And, you know, we'll see what happens. Last year, we had a huge 50-1 shot win the final. So a lot of things can happen.
Yeah, definitely. You know, obviously a lot of different things can happen in this race. Obviously the posts do matter. And again, we can only speculate so much, Mike. Obviously next week on the show, we'll be able to not even have to worry about speculating because we'll have the actual draw for the final. But let's just toss out there the obvious scenario people are thinking of. First of all, I guess we'll start here, Mike. Desperate Man versus Line Drive Hanover. Forget odds, you know, just looking at him in general, would you agree, generally speaking, most people would agree that Desperate Man, especially after defeating Line Drive Hanover, had the pocket perfectly right behind him, is probably the better horse going into the final on paper?
I think so. Right now, he is.
With that said, what do you think the odds are, and where would you stand if we give, you know, Line Drive Hanover the rail and Desperate Man post 8, and, you know, I don't know, we work it from there, post 2 versus post 7, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how much is that going to play a big factor?
I think it will play some, especially if one draws egregiously worse than the other, then that's going to bring the prices closer. I think ultimately Desperate Man will be the favorite in the race, but if Line Drive Hanover goes and dominates again and wins in sub 51 and draws an inside post, that gap closes a lot. And it could be very similar odds going to the gate. And, you know, we still have another week here, so it depends on what some of these other horses do. You know, Backstreet Shadow could have another impressive effort that could, you know, bring some money his way. So there's other horses that can take some of the money away from those two. It's not like that they're the only ones in the race.
Yeah, so I guess that is the next question. You kind of mentioned a few there, but outside of those two, give me some names you might be looking for. You know, you a couple different ways. Let's put it this way. Give me another name you're looking for as a serious win contender against these top two, and maybe someone who's a big number that, you know, we're not even sure this week, but maybe they'll sneak into the final. You could be looking at to catch a price underneath in an exacta or trifecta.
Well, I think Please Let Me Know is an obvious one. That since the Lasix came on, was great last week. I thought, you know, was able to get the front and hold off with all that pressure. Now he did kick home in 29, but he got it done. And now you're coming back second back with the Lasix, gets a short field, should end up making the final. I don't think he'll get ignored in that final. He's typically probably going to be 5-6-1 versus those horses, maybe a little more depending on where he draws, but he's a horse that I think is sneaky and capable.
For me, I'm thinking, you know, I am curious to see Duncan versus Desperate Man in a situation where obviously he doesn't end up like he did last week with that break at the start. So, again, that poster obviously going to be a big part of it. But, you know, at the right 10, well, probably 15, 20 to 1 number even. I mean, I think those top two, Desperate Man and Line Drive in the final, are going to be massive money takers, especially if, conversely, you know, we gave a scenario of one drawing outside way worse than the other. They both draw way inside, then it's particularly going to be a bad case scenario for everybody else. What if those two draw 1-2, Mike? I mean, they could be 4-5, 6-5, or even 3-5, 2-1, whatever they are. And the third choice could be like 10-1 at that point. I mean, so I think it'll be interesting to see in that sense how the draw works out. But that's the one that I would say is Duncan, depending, you know, where he draws, where everybody else draws. And for the big numbers underneath, well, I don't know. You know, I think Hellblue is probably the number from last year's champion. Obviously, I still think there's a little work he's got to do this week to get to that final. But if he does, draws right, gets the right trip again this year, might not be looking at the 51 upset again, but 50-1 second or third on an exact or a try sounds pretty good too. So definitely some interesting stuff coming up there, Mike. And obviously, this week is just kind of the anticipation week, right? I mean, we still got some racing to do this week, but really we're kind of eyes focused towards next week.
Yeah, the main contenders are basically locked in. And so now it's just a matter of, you know, everybody getting there healthy, which last year we had a horse had to scratch out of the final, if you recall. So everybody still has to get there, get healthy. We'll see what the draw brings and, you know, turn them loose. We'll see what happens.
Definitely should be a good race to look forward to. And Mike, before we get out of here, I guess just the general promos we'll give. Obviously, Monday night, you know, once the series is over, Monday night at Yonkers, we're going to continue the show there on the Simulcast feed. And myself and Peter Vanaglia continuing through the first Monday in September. So plenty more weeks to catch us, even after the big races are over with. I'm going to be at Yonkers a lot more. I guess I'm liable to share, Mike, today as we're recording. And I'm getting ready to head off right now to the first official day as a full-time Yonkers employee, although doesn't feel like a lot's changed since I've kind of been there for the last 6 months anyway, filling in and working on a lot of stuff, but looking forward to that. Yeah, other Yonkers happenings, obviously the free program pages each night on the race website on EmpireCityCasino.com. Great advice, great to be able to take care of. And Mike, I know you're a big handicapping person, and obviously, you know, now who picks, we got a lot of our stuff. Have you read the Empire Report from the SOA of New York? It's just that really is. I mean, I know Peter says it every time, like broken record too on our airs, but it really is incredible the time that goes in to putting together that report every race night.
Very solid. Hopefully I'd like to get it up on Nahu. Honestly, we'll have to see what we can do about that because it's valuable. If you know, take the time, you can jump on Twitter and get that. They do post it on that the SOA Twitter feed, so you know, keep an eye for that, and it's definitely worth looking at. So that's Standardbred Owners Association of New York. If you want to, it's at SOA of NY. You can catch that report.
Yeah, definitely some great information there. And, of course, Empire City Bets, preferred wagering partner for us. Obviously, some great rebates, great opportunities there. And, Mike, we all know we're in this for the pool sizes. Guaranteed pick five Monday nights, $10,000 guarantees. And, again, that's another thing that continues not only through this series but beyond into the rest of the year. So that's always a great opportunity to get into the pools.
Absolutely. Getting these big pick fives, I guarantee you the 10,000. They're getting some decent handle here, especially on these Monday night cards. So, you know, if you like harness racing, you like big horses, stick around, watch some of these other races, get some prices, and try to connect.
All right, well, there we have it. That's the info we got for you for this week's show. As always, thank you for tuning in to the Harness Players Podcast. We hope we've given you some good information here between some more stable content for you, along with the Fraser Downs and some Yonkers Raceway Handicapping. Hopefully, you have a winning Masters week, and you are donning the green jacket on Sunday evening. We'll talk to you next time here on the Harness Players Podcast.